Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you on this Thursday, September 19th, as we continue our discussion of life issues. Today, we're going to talk about two places that are representative of a number of organizations really across the country, places that people might turn when they're facing a pregnancy that they weren't really planning for, they weren't prepared for, they're not really sure what to do and how to go about it. So we're going to talk with some friends at some crisis pregnancy centers, one in South Wisconsin and one in Central Florida. Looking forward to getting into that discussion today. If you'd like to join the discussion, you can do so. Give us a call here in the studio. In the St. Louis area, you can call 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, you can call 1-800-730-2727. Or if you'd like to email, you can do that too. Just send us an email to family@kfuo.org. I'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, then go to the sponsor section, click on the CUW logo, and that'll take you to a bunch of information about Concordia University Wisconsin and all that they have to offer. So thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for their support. Well, joining us on the phone today is Reverend David Poppe from the South Wisconsin District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Welcome, Pastor Poppe.
Good morning.
So glad to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Tell us about your role and your work in the South Wisconsin District.
Well, a Place of Refuge has been a ministry to moms experiencing an unplanned pregnancy for 20 years now. It started in 1992, that summer, when the missionaries, the Preborn, came to town and got things all fired up for life. And we Missouri Synod folks said, we're for life. So we had a presence across the street from a clinic throughout that summer, proclaiming the law, but not breaking the law like the missionaries do. And then at the end of the summer, our district president, Ed Silflo, and I sat down, and we said, we need to do something proactive. And a committee was put together. And a Place of Refuge began. And we basically have two avenues through which our people are able to help moms. Our advocacy ministry, where we'll refer them to all the resources in the community. If that's not enough, we'll provide whatever it takes to help them have their baby. And then we also have a house called Refuge House where the moms can stay. And through the whole process, our goal is to help them physically, emotionally, and above all, spiritually. It's been a tremendous blessing. It helped hundreds and hundreds of mothers have their babies.
It sounds like quite an operation and quite a service. What is your involvement and what is your position in the South Wisconsin District?
I'm chairman of the board of directors of a Place of Refuge, and I serve the district as one of the vice presidents and a pastor in a local church here in Brown Deer. But this ministry has been just such a blessing for these 20 years, and it's been wonderful to see God's people and our pastors come forward. It is a thoroughly LCMS ministry. You have to be a member in good standing in one of our churches to be on the board of directors, and it's been a tremendous blessing to see the spiritual gifts God has given. Mm-hmm. The baptisms of babies born to moms we are ministering to has been such a thrill to see and to do myself, perform myself.
Sure. How do moms, new moms, find out about a Place of Refuge?
Well, we are in the Yellow Pages, even though that has become sort of antiquated in the 21st century. But mainly through word of mouth and then through the other agencies in the area that are looking for places to help moms, and we are there for them. And our churches. You know, our logo has a roof with a cross on it, and it's to show that the Place of Refuge is our congregations. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've tried to get across to our pastors. That you are a place of refuge. We are there to help you in every way we can. And it has been a marvelous partnership for these two decades.
So it's a partnership among the congregations of the South
Correct.
Wisconsin District.
Correct.
How do the congregations participate? How do they get involved? How do they get connected?
Well, we have a development director who goes out and tells the story, and that's a huge part in helping people remember the story. But at conventions, district conventions, pastoral conferences, we remind our brothers and our sisters in Christ of this ministry and continue to encourage them to use us and to support us, to be part of us, to be part of our annual Life Walk, a big celebration for life and our main fundraiser every June. And again, the response is tremendous because our people are strongly pro-life. I mean, we pass resolutions all the time that are very strong. And what we have here is a way that we put our pro-life convictions into positive action. You know the old question, what would Jesus do? Well, he says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. We want to serve him by serving these moms and their babies.
And that touches on my next question. Why? Why service to moms, to especially moms who are not expecting a baby, weren't planning for a baby? Why did the South Wisconsin District step out and take this leap? Why is that mom important? Why is that baby important?
Because they're important to God. They're precious children of God. And our call as Christians is to be witnesses. And what we have in a place of refuge is a wonderful, positive way to witness to the life-giving message of the gospel, physical life and spiritual life. One quick story.
Sure.
I was baptizing a couple of babies one Sunday, and afterwards one of the moms said, I'd like to be baptized too. Now, she'd been going to church and Bible class, so I did ask her some questions right then and baptized her. And about 5 years later, I was at a Christmas program at one of our churches, and there's a little girl playing Mary, and my wife looked at me and said, what are the tears for? And I said, there's that young lady I baptized. And right now she's in sixth grade at one of our Lutheran schools. Just so neat to see God working. And Mom has been confirmed since then and is a faithful member of that congregation as well.
Wow, what a blessing to see that work carried out, to see that how you serve that person, that mom and that baby, and now still being blessed by the Lord through that work, through the congregations and the schools.
What term did you use? Blessed by the Lord?
That's right.
That's my favorite response. People ask me, how are you today? And this ministry has been blessed by the Lord, richly blessed by the Lord for these two decades. We know it's His work. Been many challenges, and many times we wondered what the next step would be. And He has been there the whole time, leading us and directing us and blessing our efforts for the sake of the mothers and their babies and our people. It gives our people an opportunity to put their pro-life convictions into action in a marvelous, positive way. It is just a win-win situation all the way around. A number of our people help support us through a store we own that is called Blessed Again, a resale shop. And actually, we rent the store, but it's our ministry through that store to the community that helps support our ministry and gives our people another way to express their pro-life convictions.
How are our fathers, how are dads or fathers a part of this?
We attempt to encourage them, but most of our women have had very poor relationships with these men. And while we attempt to encourage positive things, there has not been as much in that area as we'd like to see.
Certainly. It takes a lot of work to keep something like this running, to manage such a service to the community. I want to look at some how people can be involved to help, and also how many people are served. Let's start with that. How many people are, any idea how many people are served maybe on a regular basis or since the beginning?
Well, there have been hundreds and hundreds of mothers that we have served since the beginning, over 1,000. And it has just been, again, such a thrill to see God working. And at any given time, our advocates, who are the ones who are working one-on-one with moms in the community, we'll have three to four clients at the same time. And so at any given time, there are probably 20, 25 women that we're working with. And then in the house, we can have up to 5 moms, and they actually can stay with their children if they have children. And then we're there to help them through the whole process. And what a wonderful opportunity to help moms get on their feet and to know that there are people that care about them because the Lord loves them.
You mentioned advocates. What does an advocate do? Who serves as an advocate, and what do they, what do they need to bring with them in terms of skill set and that sort of thing?
These are simply volunteers from our churches, people who have a heart for moms and their babies. And the skill set is simply being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for people And we will help them, you know, with the skills, with the things that they get to do. It's simply being there and helping the mom find all the resources in the community and providing layettes and even furniture, food, clothing, transportation, whatever it takes to help that mother through her pregnancy.
And that's a lot. My wife and I have just, my wife just gave birth to our first child about 2 weeks ago, and all the things that come with that and all the things that are needed, it's an amazing journey, but there are a lot of, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it, and all the things that,
yes,
that are needed, as you mentioned, furniture and you know, maybe formula and or other needs, diapers. I can't count all
our
the
people
diapers.
Donate. LWML has been a tremendous supporter. They have in gatherings for us periodically, and our churches will hold baby showers and gather things, and our schools will do the same thing. They mentioned Concordia University of Wisconsin as your sponsor. They have been a tremendous supporter in many areas of their ministry. This last summer, a huge group of them came and renovated Refuge House, did a tremendous job. Just awesome to see all the support. It takes a lot of people, an awful lot of people. But again, our people are pro-life. They see this as a positive way to express their pro-life convictions. And the Lord just blesses all of these efforts.
So you certainly have a lot of support throughout the district, and it sounds like maybe even beyond.
Oh, yes, we get support all around the Synod. And even some non-Lutheran folks help support us, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But the neat thing is to see the support we've had from our church body itself, from our district presidents. They have all been extremely supportive and helping to lead in the encouragement and support of a place of refuge.
Let's take a look step by step. Someone, a woman finds herself in need. She, you know, finds herself with an unexpected pregnancy. Let's go from the very beginning all the way through to that, as you were saying, that joyous time when you see that child later on in a Lutheran school hearing about Jesus. What... step by step, so she gets connected with a place of refuge through a congregation, through someone who knows her. She finds it through an agency in the community. She gets connected and then meets with an advocate.
The advocate would be the first step, and then the advocate is the one who assesses what that woman's needs are, what we can do for her. And many times the advocate will be the person that continues to minister to that woman throughout the rest of her pregnancy. If it's determined that she does not have adequate living circumstances, then she goes through an intake process to become a resident of Refuge House. And the neat thing about Refuge House, that is where we can really do a much more complete job of helping that mother maybe get on her feet educationally, get her GED, or help her to get some job skills or and get a job, and learn some parenting skills. That's one thing we wish to do too, and then as well we try to help them with a whole host of other things that can help them be better parents. And at the same time, through all of it, we're sharing the reason we're there, which is the message of our Lord and His love for them.
So she has that support through her pregnancy, throughout the whole time, and that encouragement, whether it's at the Refuge House or if she's not at Refuge House, she has, you know, decent living conditions. Is someone checking in on her on a regular basis then?
Correct. The advocate would continue to keep in touch with her and would certainly want to know if that when that child is born. There was a case I remember years ago. It was someone that I tried to help, and it didn't work. One of our advocates got in there and became fast friends, and the mom, who was actually thinking of an abortion, had an ultrasound instead and saw her baby, did a 180, and the day the baby was born, she wanted me to baptize the baby, and I went into the room, and the advocate was there. They said when the advocate walked in the room, the mom said, "Look, there's the lady who saved your life."
Wow.
And that little one was confirmed for just now, wow. 14 years later. How exciting.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what this is all about, God's people helping moms choose life for their babies. You know, it's putting some action behind our message. It says life is precious, choose life, mm-hmm. and we'll help you.
Right.
And after the woman has given birth, we attempt to follow up. Now, one of our advocates from the past is still in touch with the mom and encouraging her 20 years later, which is great. And then at the house, after they're born, they can stay there up 6 to 9 months afterwards just to get on their feet and get established and help learn those parenting skills on the job, if you will. And it's a very positive way in helping moms transition out of the house.
Sure. You brought up a good point. I'm sure that it's a very frightening time for many women, and they may really struggle with whether or not they want to bring this baby to term or not, and maybe considering abortion. Is that the case quite often? Many of the women are just fully afraid and
yes,
trying to consider.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, when they do use the Yellow Pages, and again, that's not as often as in the past, many times you would get phone calls from women who were considering abortion because we are listed under abortion alternatives. They look for abortion, and they see our number first, and we would be talking to an abortion-minded woman. And our people were trained to help her through that process, too, and visit with us, and in many cases, we were able to help them see the precious choice of life as opposed to what they had originally intended.
So she has the support of the advocates, delivers the baby, and then has the option, if she's at a refuge house, has the option of staying through 6 to 9 months there.
Mm-hmm.
And then follows up. It sounds like the advocates follow up even later on in life as well.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Now, there's so many women that we do not hear from afterwards, and, mm-hmm. and many women will just call us, and what they need is a layette and some of the basic baby needs, and we gladly do that. But there are quite a few where it's a short contact, but at least there is a contact, and we are faithfully attempting to be there for moms at this time, in the name of Christ.
Do you have to? For delivery, do you work with local hospitals? How does that work?
There are programs with the hospitals that they're able to get into, and we do work with the hospitals in the area and encourage the moms to have good prenatal care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after going through the last 9-10 months, I realize mm-hmm. now, you know, having seen it so personally, there's a lot that goes into pregnancy. You think, oh, you find out you're pregnant, you've got 9 months, and then you deliver a baby. No, there's a lot that happens along that way during that 9 months. So,
by the way, congratulations.
Thank
How
you.
Exciting.
Yeah, yeah. I thought about bringing our little boy in to provide some sound effects in the background, but it might have been a little too loud. So
that would be great. That would be great. I never noticed those in church except when they were my own.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of work going on there, and it takes a lot of people. Besides the advocates, what other types of support are needed for a place of refuge?
Well, we have people that help move furniture and other things that are donated to the store, or furniture that is then taken to a client. Years ago, my son and I dragged a refrigerator up a whole bunch of stairs for one of our clients. I'll never forget that. But there are a lot of people volunteering in those different ways. And at the house, we have a house manager whose husband does tremendous things around the house to help keep that place going, and other volunteers that assist there to keep that building going. It's like owning a home. There's always something that has to be attended to, and it takes a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with the store.
The website for A Place of Refuge describes it as a gospel-focused service. I can imagine a lot of women in this position may feel, some may feel embarrassed or ashamed, especially when they find, that it's organized by a church, that they might feel ashamed, if they're not married or, in this day and age, it may not necessarily be an issue for some people. But what does it mean to be a gospel-focused service?
It means that we are focused on that mom and her baby and their relationships with Christ. And we want to do everything to enhance that, to help her to understand that the Lord loves her, regardless of the past, and that there is marvelous hope for the future because of our risen Lord. And we simply attempt to be Christ's love to that mother, and let her know that we are there for her because the Lord is there for her. And the vast majority of the cases, that is received very positively. We do encourage our moms to worship with us when they're in Refuge House. In fact, the house is relatively close to my church, and the church house manager is a member of my church, and those moms are in our church, and our people have open arms. It is just so precious to see that relationship.
What kind of support does it take from everyone else, from congregations, from our listeners today? What kind of support can they provide that would help keep a place of refuge going strong?
Number one, we need your prayers that the Lord would continue to bless this effort in the Lord's name to reach these moms and their babies. Financial support is always crucial, and again, the website provides an avenue for that. If you're in the Milwaukee area, we can always use furniture, clothing, anything that a normal resale store can use, our store can use. And then, again, things that are donated specifically for the mothers, diapers and baby needs, clothing for moms are always welcome.
So,
and also in the Milwaukee area, if you'd like to volunteer, we always need more people to help.
Sure. So certainly they can volunteer, they can provide furniture and other materials that new moms can support. What if they're outside of the Milwaukee area and want to support?
Well, then you can go to the website, and again, it's very easy to give us a financial donation. That can be done. And another thing you can do if you're outside the area is look at where you are and ask yourself, is there a need for this kind of ministry here? Because there's crucial need in this area all over. Mm-hmm. And we would be willing to give any input that it would take to help someone start a ministry like this in their area.
Wonderful. Well, A Place of Refuge sounds like it lives up to its name, a place of refuge for mothers who are probably frightened and not sure of what lies ahead, but you bring that care, that mercy in the name of Jesus and welcome them openly with open arms and welcome that child too with the good news of Jesus. We really appreciate what you're doing and I appreciate you spending some time with us today. Any other final thoughts for our listeners today?
Well, again, as a lifelong Missouri Synod Lutheran, I am just so thankful for this ministry. This is truly a Missouri Synod ministry. We are a recognized service organization. And it is just such a thrill to be part of our Lutheran community and our synodical stand for life. We are just so blessed to be in a church body that is focusing on witness, mercy, and life together. And what a blessing to be a big part of that.
Thank you so much, Pastor Poppe. We've been talking with Reverend David Poppe of the South Wisconsin District and his work with A Place of Refuge Ministries of South Wisconsin. Thanks for your time today, Pastor.
You're welcome. May the Lord bless you and care for you and that baby in every way.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Lord bless you too. Stick around for more Faith and Family up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you've been on this earth a while, you remember the argument by pro-abortion activists to legalize abortion. It went like this. Scores of women are dying in illegal back alley abortion facilities, so we must make it legal and safe. So, according to them, legal abortion should be safe abortion, right? Wrong. Dr. Byron Calhoun, Vice Chair of the Obstetrics and Gynecology Department at West Virginia University, says he personally sees women at the hospital emergency room every week who are maimed by legal abortion. Abortionists who don't have admitting privileges at hospitals literally abandon women to the emergency room and leave the ER staff to figure out what happened and how to treat them. This is happening all over the nation. It's back alley legal abortion.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Human trafficking is the third fastest growing criminal industry. It impacts millions of people, including tens of thousands of immigrants, and reaches virtually every corner of the U.S. This trading in the bodies and souls of human beings is clearly condemned in Scripture. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service launched the End Human Trafficking Campaign to help educate and mobilize Lutherans to make a difference. Together, we can end human trafficking. LIRS.org/EHT.
How would you feel if suddenly your marriage and the only community you knew was snatched away from you? On the next Focus on the Family, you'll hear from a remarkable couple who experienced just that and who learned how to rebuild the dream of their marriage according to God's plan. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO.
If you have a question or comment for us at Worldwide KFUO, it's easy to contact us on our website, kfuoam.org. On our homepage, click on Contact Us, where you'll find a map and directions to the station, our telephone numbers, and an online contact form. You can also send an email to our in-studio account, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be happy to hear from you today. Thanks for listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
After Monday's mass shooting at the Washington Navy Yard that left 13 people dead, including the gunman, Cardinal Donald Wuerl says,
"Love alone can bring consolation and healing."
Washington's Roman Catholic Archbishop conducted a special mass Tuesday at St. Matthew's Cathedral.
"We pray, asking God's mercy on the souls of those who died so violently."
Wuerl said it's a reminder that none of us know how long we'll live.
"Death came suddenly and in an unexpected manner to those who work at the Navy Yard."
He told mourners that God's love can heal a broken world.
"Only love can conquer violence. Only love is really victorious, even in the face of death."
Cardinal Wuerl said the nation can build a civilization of love, one person at a time. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and we're continuing our discussion on life issues this week. If you'd like to join the discussion today, you can do so as we're talking with our guests from crisis pregnancy centers around the country. So if you'd like to join the conversation and you're in the St. Louis area, you can call us at 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, you can give us a call at 1-800-730-2727. Or if you'd like to email, you can do that as well. Send your question or comment to family@kfuo.org. Our guest for the second segment of the show today is co-founder of Redeeming, Redeeming Life Maternity Home in Sanford, Florida, and that is Katie DeWitt, co-founder. Thanks for joining us today, Katie.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's how are things in Florida today?
They're pretty good. A little cloudy, but always hot.
It's cloudy always here hot. Today. So, well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I want to learn more about Redeeming Life Maternity Home and the work that you do and your involvement in that as well. You're located in Sanford, Florida, and if I recall correctly, that's just not too far outside of Orlando. Is that right?
Right, just a little bit north.
Excellent. So what is Redeeming Life Maternity Home, and what's your involvement?
Redeeming Life Maternity Home is one of the main mission areas of Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. Basically, what we're trying to do here is to offer to single pregnant women in crisis a home and a family and the hope of Christ to cling to during a rather tough time in their life where the world and seemingly to them sometimes the church seem to reject them.
And it's true. They probably feel that rejection as part of our human nature when they're in that situation. When they're afraid, they may feel that fear or rejection from the church. So,
yeah.
How does Redeeming Life Maternity Home make that connection? How do you get connected with the women in crisis pregnancy situations?
Well, we get referrals through some other local pregnancy centers, but we actually focus more on housing these women. This ministry was born, my parents had actually had this idea for many years, and I found myself pregnant in college out of marriage, and it kind of, I always tell people that if I hadn't had my family and my faith, and a God to cling to that held me through the lonely times, that I don't know how women do it. And so when I came home from college pregnant, the whole idea was kind of born out of that, you know, we want to take these women and show them that, you know, while God loves, you know, condemns their sin, he still loves the sinner. And so what we're hoping to do is to be that family, to be that support, to give them that home, that so many of them don't have.
And what does that look like from the beginning? You know, once you're connected with a woman who's expecting, where does it go from there?
Well, you mean once we would get a referral of a
right.
woman that,
mm-hmm.
that needed a place to live?
Mm-hmm.
We would, we have a whole intake process that's, rather boring to go over on an interview like this, but basically we offer a place to live and the home, which is nearly complete on. My mother, who's the executive director, has done a really great job at making sure that this home doesn't feel very clinicky. It's very much feels like your home or my home, where and it gives these girls what we're hoping, obviously, is that. They have a place where they feel like they're a part of it. So they'll mm-hmm. each have a room, and then encouraged to take part in family events or family, I don't know what you would call them, dinner time.
Sure.
Not necessarily an event, but anything that kind of gives them that connection to one another. The girls would be referred to us, and then, pending some, obviously some legal things and some safety things,
mm-hmm.
And you know, whether or not, you know, their specific needs were within what we could handle, then we would offer them a place to live. And then our hope is, like I said, this is part of a four-prong ministry. We're hoping to also down the road offer transitional housing for these women so that after they've had their babies and they're not necessarily in a crisis situation anymore, that we can offer them a place to live that they can have some ownership in, and that they, you know, would have to, I believe, I would have to pay rent and kind of get back on their feet, but would still be within the arms of the ministry where we could still be there for them. And the other two would be a 24-hour daycare for families that work shift work, and then elder care housing.
So you're still in the building stages of much of this, it sounds like.
Yeah, this is the first segment to be open, and I tell you, God's really blessed it. It's one of those things where it just starts. It just goes, and you don't know why, and you don't know how, but God makes it go. And yeah, so right now we're working on the first work. This is the first part to be started, and I believe the home should be open within the month. But
wow,
my mom's probably screaming right now hearing you say that.
So you've mentioned your family is involved in this, and is a key are key figures in this launching. Who else is behind all of this great work?
Oh, gosh, so many people. So many great people that really have a heart for ministry. You know, I feel like Christians get we get a bad reputation sometimes, especially among our secular friends, that, you know, that we're judgmental and that we only want you if you don't make us look bad. And I think that there's a lot of Christians, and there are a lot of Lutherans, a lot of Christians, a lot of everybody, you know, that see people looking at us that way, and it almost hurts your heart to think that, gosh, people think that because I'm a Christian, I think you have to be perfect. And I think that this gives us an opportunity to get kind of nitty gritty, and we've got a lot of great people that have come on board here that see this as an opportunity to say, look, we love you, God loves you, more importantly, and they we've had so much support. I couldn't even begin to tell you how grateful I am to the people that have come on board and shown not only their support for this ministry and our family, but shown that, I mean, people with servants' hearts. It's been absolutely, obviously, I can't even get my words out straight. Like, it's been incredible.
Are congregations, are there whole congregations that are connected with Redeeming Life that are a part of this work? Obviously, there are individuals. How do congregations support Redeeming Life?
There's been a lot of ways. Our home congregation, the one that my father's the pastor of, you know, everybody has different skills. Everybody has different gifts that they've been given. This congregation, our home congregation, has more love and more, they just have servant hearts. We have other congregations such as St. Luke's and Oviedo, which is, they're a member of the SCLC district, mm-hmm. I believe. I don't know if that's important, but, you know, they have, you know, lots of bodies and lots of loving hearts and hands that, so they've been able to help us where we might lack, you know, volunteer staff or maybe knowledge. We've had congregations from different denominations. We've had people that have heard from it that just want to come out and hammer a nail, that they just want to show their support for this work, and it's been incredible. But yeah, the congregations have come out. We've had support from them monetarily and time. You know, so like I said, some people know how to do different things. One guy was in there with a jackhammer. No one ever give me one.
So you're saying that there would be more damage done than construction?
Yes, it would not be a good thing. It would not be a good thing.
Well, thankfully, the Lord has given you other gifts that apparently have been a blessing to this work. How many? Where do you think this will? What this serves Sanford, but does it serve beyond that community as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this gives us a, it's served by what it says, I think, in a lot of ways, that, you know, that we're, you know, single pregnant women aren't necessarily always considered the deserving poor, to use an old term for it. You know, and I think that then, you know, we get tempted to not want to serve them because, you know, we don't want to be associated with them. You know, there's this whole political correctness that we're afraid of being associated with anything that's gonna tamper the way people view us. And I think it's about, you know, I think as Christians, it serves us to get down and dirty like Jesus did. You know, to get down with the people that need your help, and you know, and to like I said before, to show them that, you know, to show these women, look, God doesn't approve of what you did. But he loves you despite of it, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that it serves a need in our churches to kind of show everybody, look, we can help even the ones that don't deserve our help, because that's ultimately what Jesus did for us.
Sure, we're none deserving of the mercy that Jesus has given us.
Right, right. You know, and you know, God never intended children to be raised by one parent. You know, I have to raise my son to understand this. You know, but what I also get to teach him is the love that God has for both his mommy and for him. You know, a love that was big enough to cover my sins, present and future. You know, his sins and the sins of everybody. And that's the gospel we need to be sharing with single mothers. Not God condemns you, but God condemns your sin and loves you despite it. You know, we should be bold. We should be bold in both our love for sinners and our hatred of sin. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's kind of what we're trying. What we're trying to do here in this ministry, and God willing, we'll be able to do it successfully.
Looking at the list, of volunteer opportunities, you've mentioned certainly with the construction process. What other needs do you anticipate mm-hmm. down the road in terms of volunteers?
Oh, goodness. This is one of those questions that my mom should probably be on the phone for. Well, you know, right now it's very construction oriented. So there's a lot of stuff right now that we need people's help in, you know, that with physical labor, painting, stuff like that. You know, down the road when there's women living here, you know, we've had some people have volunteered to help them learn a skill like cooking, which I've told my mother I'm going to sign up for. So my son doesn't have to eat chicken nuggets every night. Anyway, but you know, so there's opportunities. Really, the biggest volunteer work, I think, once the home is built, you know, beyond developing the next couple of branches of this ministry, is really being there for these girls. You know, welcoming them into your social circles, into your church families. You know, and from far away places. I mean, not to sound like, but. There's never a good way to say this, but money is always nice in order to keep
sure.
it going.
Sure.
You know, in order to keep these things thriving. So, but yeah, I mean, if, you know, even people that don't have, you know, skills with a hammer, such as myself, you know, come and talk to these girls and let them know that, you know, you're not scary. We're not scary Christians. We actually care for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how eloquently I just put that.
No, I think you put it in very realistic terms that we're just like you, you know, we're all sinners. We're all, and certainly God hates our sin. He rejects our sin, but because of Christ, he redeems us and takes away that sin. He takes that sin to the grave and rose again. And because he rose again, and we will raise again too to new life. And we can celebrate that new life in spite of the fact that we carry around in us still the sinful body. We can still focus on that resurrection, and not just for us, but for that little life that is growing within the mother to celebrate that. And that could be done in so many ways, whether it be for someone from, you know, around the country, you know, who's not in Florida, but somewhere else, you know, to support financially and certainly through their prayers, but also for those locally, as you were mentioning, those just life together, helping new moms learn some skills such as, you know, cooking for a family other yeah. things that are important in life together.
Yeah, you know, and these women, you know, I always say when I tell people about this ministry that, you know, single pregnant women have this layer of judgment that's almost inherent to their condition, you know, because if you walk in 9 months pregnant to the grocery store with no ring on your finger, everybody knows. You know what I mean? There's no hiding your sin. And so I think that sometimes it's a very lonely place to be. And so, you know, by being able to, you know, by even just being a friend to these women, if you want to write somebody a letter, I don't know, you know, something that tells them it's okay, you know, where somebody's here for you.
Mm-hmm. And that someone in the name of Jesus, that
right.
someone comes in the name of Jesus to bring the good news, and not just lip service, not just speaking it, but also as you're doing in a very real way, bringing that mercy in a very realistic way, providing for their earthly needs, providing a home,
yeah.
providing opportunities, other means for them to carry on life and a healthy and safe life, you know, in a healthy and safe environment.
Right.
Well,
yeah, it's time to get down and get real with the problems of this world and to bring them the good news we were sent out to give.
And sometimes that means making chicken nuggets.
Hey, it works in my house. Kid hasn't died of starvation yet.
How old is your little one?
He's 3 and a half.
What a blessing. We have a newborn in our house, so he's
oh my goodness,
2 weeks old yesterday. So as I was, wow, during the first segment I was talking about that, I should have brought him in for sound effects in the background, but it might have been a little too loud. So
I'm just surprised you're coherent enough. I was so tired the first 2 weeks, I couldn't hardly put a sentence together.
My wife and I make a pretty good team, and she's probably more tired than I am. She gets most of the late night, I get the early morning. So
awesome.
Bless her heart. She hangs in there. And so going through all of this in the last year, I can only imagine what all it takes to delve into such a ministry, a service to women in need, because I know how exhausting it can be, certainly for the mother, but for, you know, for the father too, or anybody else who's involved, you know, for the extended family, it takes a lot of work to raise these little ones, and just to get through the pregnancy alone is a little, you know, is demanding and taxing. So having that support through the pregnancy is certainly important. Do you know, obviously the women are single who come to you. Is there any connection or any support? I guess it depends on the individual, from fathers, or is there any outreach to the fathers?
Again, that would probably be a question my mom would better be able to answer. It really, like you said, it does depend. We are actually only set up to deal with women who are single. And the reason for that is because married women, there's a whole lot of legal issues. The fathers have a whole lot more rights once they're married. Like I said, I can't speak fully to this, but I would imagine that most of the women coming to us are not either coming from relationships they no longer want to be in, or from, you know, fathers that don't want to be there. Just based on, I think that they would find shelter with their significant others if, sure, if they had that there. You know, but like I said, God never intended for this to be done alone. And while the girls that we will deal with most likely won't have boyfriends or husbands in the picture, that's by no means to say that we don't believe that's important. We actually, you know, the women that come in, not all of them are going to keep their babies. You know, and I think in a lot of cases, you know, I was very blessed. I've got a master's degree in accounting. I have a family that's really stable. And while we do want to be that family for these women, you know, some of them may not just be in the position to be able to keep these babies, in which case, you know, I fully support adoption. I mean, there's lots of families, you know, that are ready for babies. And, you know, if we can just keep these girls, you know, with their heart focused on what's best for their children, I think some of them might choose that path.
Sure. And that's not that's not an easy decision to make. That's not an easy decision.
No, mm-hmm. I wasn't able to make it.
Yeah, it's a tough decision to make. I'm sure that it takes a lot of support to make it through there, to make it to that decision, to realize that, you know, what might be best for this child is a family who can provide for those needs.
Right. And I think that's going to come for these women through, you know, through some counseling and through, you know, getting their heads clear of where they came from and kind of refocusing, you know, in this time, you know, hopefully with Christ as the center of that focus and their child as the center of that focus. As your wife or, you know, any mother can tell you, there's something that switches in you, you know, and it kind of, as much as, you know, you never want to be without them, there's this need to keep them safe that it's almost overpowering. So
it is, it's like you're right. It's almost like a switch, and I could see it, you know, throughout the pregnancy, but definitely after the day that, you know, the day that our son was born, how that mom instinct just kicked in, and you know, just to see my wife totally become a mom, and protect her child by all means. It's quite an interesting, obviously a gift from the Lord to have that instinct to care for a child and protect him. So intuitively, I guess it might be a way to look at it. We've got about 5 minutes here to wrap up, but other things that we can do to, obviously we can be praying for redeeming life, other things that that we could be doing to support Redeeming Life, or that you want other folks to know about?
Yeah, more than anything, I think it's just getting the word out there about the ministry and about what we're doing. You know, I think sometimes we have people with servant's hearts that don't know what to do. You know, so there's definitely, you know, a need to get the word out. I mean, having us on your station today is such a blessing, just to be able to tell people about the work that God's doing through this ministry.
And we'll be happy to post more information when we record the program, and so we'll post the archive of this program on our website, so we can post a link to the resources about Redeeming Life Outreach
Wonderful.
Ministries as well. Website or anything that we can point folks to?
Yeah, it's ROLM.org. Let me double check that before my mom has a coronary. Yes. Hold on.
ROLM.org. Excellent. Well, moms certainly are an important are such an important part of society. Back when I was in college, and obviously years ago, and in the discussions about women going to work or staying at home, and it's obviously different for every family, but realizing how important the vocation of mom is. It came to the realization that moms really shape society, because who has the most impact on children, especially in those early years, but later on throughout life as well. When kids come home from camp, or come home from college, or, you know, any time being away, they want to see mom. You know, that's who they come home to, is mom. Mom's impact society so significantly, and it's such a high vocation, and to see the work that you're doing to help moms realize their important vocation, that regardless of how they got to that situation, regardless of the sin or the shame that they face, their vocation as a mother is important. And to see the work that you're doing in that, and our friends in Wisconsin that we talked with earlier this morning, to see how that plays out, that to help moms see how they are important in the life of this child, and that vocation shapes not just that child, but really society and families down the road as well. That's a great gift.
Absolutely. And what our hope is that, you know, but you can't teach what you don't know. And so I'm a big advocate for, you know, teach these moms what it is to love and to care for something and somebody. That way they can teach it to their kids too, you know? And, mm-hmm. and I think that that's one of my personal hopes with this ministry is that, you know, is that we show these, we teach these girls, and we show these girls the love of Christ so that they can, and then they can in turn teach it to their children.
Amen.
You know, and it's one of those, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you're so right. In order to teach the love of Christ, it's important to know that love of Christ, as you were saying. The text, the scripture on the brochure, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." As you're empowered by the gospel, by the grace and of God and the work of the Holy Spirit to do that, to share that love, to act in love and mercy toward these mothers. That's a great gift.
Yeah. You know, and that's all God asks us to do, is just go out and do it. Just do it. He doesn't say, you know, figure out how it's going to get done. Because I tell you what, the blessings that have come down on this ministry so far, we could have not even imagined. Like, we couldn't have business planned it better than God has set it up for us. You know, we're hoping in years to come to put maternity homes in other places. You know, so, you know, it's there's such an opportunity, and God's got a plan for it. And so I think, you know, the more, at least it's true in my life, the more I stop stressing about figuring out how it gets done, God gets it done. So,
amen.
I'm really excited for it.
We've been talking with Katie DeWitt, co-founder of Redeeming Life Maternity Home in Sanford, Florida. Thanks so much for being with us today, Katie. It's been a pleasure talking with you about all the work that you're doing there.
Thank you so much.
Well, the Lord's blessings, and stick around to coming up next, Moments of Assurance right here on KFUO. And tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to talk with Reverend Dr. James Lamb, Executive Director for Lutherans for Life, and the upcoming Lutherans for Life conference. So be sure to come back for that tomorrow. Now, up next, Moments of Assurance right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.